Happy Saturday, Nashville. Welcome in Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle. We got David Janes on the ones and the twos with us today. Our Nick Frazier is out on vacay, so hope he's enjoying his weekend. Hope everybody is enjoying their Saturday. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. And if you want to watch our beautiful faces, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use the promo code THEGAME. Happy Saturday, Junie. How we doing?
Doing really good. Last night I got to sit and watch the finals. Got to get some rest last night.
I know
everybody else was out on Broadway for CMA Fest. Not for me anymore. I am too old to go out on Broadway for CMA Fest. Maybe that's an old man take.
I will say, I did. The plan was not to go to Broadway. The plan was to avoid Broadway at all costs. But we did end up there last night.
Well, you're also. I think a year or two younger than I am.
Well, we have friends in town, so of course, you know, it's...
You got to do what they
want. You
got
it right. Surprisingly, not as packed as I would have thought.
Really?
Yeah.
All the photos I've seen, it looked like it was crazy down there.
Okay, does Mom not know I'm on the air right now? Mom's calling.
Mom's calling.
I love you, but turn on the radio. Surprisingly, not as packed as I thought. The traffic, though, yesterday has been bad. So all our Nashvillians, if you're visiting, just try to avoid... Really, anywhere around Nissan Stadium, Broadway, and everything, traffic is pretty tough. But if you are planning on going to any of the CMA Fest, I've seen some, like Kelsey Ballerini popped up at a bar, started singing. I think that's just one of the coolest things about Nashville, that you really can be at any bar on Broadway during CMA Fest, and you really never know who's going to come out and start performing for you. So pretty cool event. It's been going on, I think, since like Tuesday or Wednesday. But like I said, be safe out there. Also, there's a air quality alert today. You know, all of those wildfires in Canada kind of coming down. So make sure you just keep – this is our little public service announcement this morning.
It was at its worst on Wednesday, and we were doing the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, mm-hmm. which was a great time, but – You know, my wife, Shana, she kept texting me about it because, you know, she's from New York and she was getting pictures from her family about it. It literally looked like an episode from, what's the show? The Walking Dead. Like, it literally looked like it was, like, apocalyptic up in New York City.
Scary.
The way it was. I mean, they canceled games because of it, even games inside. Like, it was just really bad. They just did not want people out there. And she was like, well, like, are you going to be outside all day? Are you doing this? And I was like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I don't feel anything. But by the time I got home, like, my head was kind of hurting. And I was like, maybe this whole, like, air pressure thing or this air quality thing.
Air quality, yeah. Got to be careful. There were some signs I saw when I was driving to the airport yesterday. So keep an eye out on that today. That's our nice little public. Keep an eye out on the traffic and the air quality for Nashvillians. David Janes, good to have you this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. I mean, you know. It's a wonderful Saturday. I get to be up instead of going to bed right now. So it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, David, usually the overnight, I usually relieve you in the morning. I'm coming in as you're leaving. David Janes, our resident, also LSU, like Caroline Fenton, and Ravens fan, big Lamar Jackson fan.
Go Flock.
I feel like I always have to, whenever we have, you know, somebody new on the show, we always introduce them based off of what their fan base is and what their fan preference is. Like, when you first started hosting with me, I was like Louisville and Steelers fan. I'm obviously known as the Kentucky fan. We call Joe Rexroad a Lions fan, anything Detroit.
Michigan State,
even though he refuses to.
GB Joe.
Even though he refuses to, you know, associate with it. I think that's something, like, our station, we have so many different, like, people from everywhere, and we all have just different fandoms, and it's so fun. So I don't even know. Did the LSU Tigers beat my Kentucky Wildcats in baseball last night?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, let's look it up. A lot of stuff happening this week. If you join us every Saturday, you know that we like to kind of kick off things with the Morning Brew, go around some of the national headlines, some of the local headlines, some things that you might have missed this week. Obviously, Super Regionals happening. Joe Rexroad, I know, is down in Hattiesburg for the Tennessee Vols and Southern Miss. Got to win two games, and they'll be off to Omaha. So
the LSU Tigers play tonight.
Oh, they play tonight.
At 2 p.m.
Okay. Well, it'll be David Janes and Caroline Fenton versus me with LSU versus Kentucky.
It's the same time as Tennessee Southern Miss, too. I believe they get going around 2 p.m. as well. Yeah, for some reason I thought that you know, those games were going to start last night and they were going to wrap up on Sunday. So if it's a 3-game series, are they going to be playing until
I think it depends. I think it depends on the because I think LSU Kentucky is Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
I think some, I will say, I do think some started on Friday. I think it just, it probably just depended on where you were. But we got all of the super regional action going on. A lot of SEC schools, I mean, we mentioned LSU, Kentucky, Tennessee. You got South Carolina, Florida, and then there's one that I'm forgetting. But a lot of SEC schools, I mean, 8 SEC baseball schools hosted regionals, were host cities. And now you got a bunch that have advanced to the super regional round. We'll see how many advance to Omaha, and we'll have all that next week. Like I said, Joe Rexroad is out there covering the Vols in Hattiesburg against Southern Miss, and they will have their first game today.
You know what kind of surprises me, and can I be real about this?
Sure.
Moving down here to Tennessee, like, even as a Louisville fan, and Louisville's typically always been really good at baseball, I would never watch a college baseball game unless Louisville made it to the College World Series in Omaha. Like, I just never got into it. But now, like, being in here in Tennessee, seeing how much traction that Tennessee and Vanderbilt baseball and just SEC baseball in general, and how great the conference is at the sport, it really kind of blows me away about how much coverage it gets and how much people actually pay attention and want to hear about it. So, like, you know, the last couple of years, I've actually kind of been watching college baseball, which, like, I will be the first to tell you, out of all the sports, I am not a baseball guy. I can sit and watch anything else. Baseball has just not been my thing. But seeing how much people actually care about it, this whole thing about, you know, Nashville getting an MLB team, I'm like, do you not see, like, how these fans get into it with with college baseball? If that could turn over into the MLB, and, you know, MLB's trying to expand, I mean, that's something to think about when you see how much these fans actually care about these teams and their success.
Well, and just the SEC, I mentioned all the teams that were regional host sites. And then, so all the SEC, these are the games. So South Carolina and Florida, those are two SEC, obviously. Then you've got Alabama is the team that'll play Wake Forest. They're the number one seed. So that'll be a tall task. Kentucky, LSU, and then Tennessee. So you've got a big representation from SEC schools in the super regionals. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how many move on. Of course, you have some playing each other. So one of them will be knocked out. But like we said, the Tennessee-Southern Miss game will be at 2 p.m. today. I think, you know, the baseball fan base here, especially with the Vandy boys, has always been very, very strong. But even just other SEC programs really taking it up a notch these last couple of years, like the hiring of Tony Vitello, we've seen a big jump in this Tennessee baseball program. And, you know, Kentucky, I grew up around baseball, but like you said, I'd put it towards the bottom if I have to rank my sports. I mean, this is the second time ever that they've made the Super Regionals. So, you know, you're seeing the SEC as a whole, and we've had this conversation before, watching every single sport just take it up a notch. You talk about what Greg Sankey has been able to do with the SEC. I mean, football has always been king. We talked about how many basketball teams made it into the NCAA tournament this year. We're talking about baseball now. Women's basketball, LSU just won the national championship. You know, you talk about every single sport just really taking it up a notch and becoming so dominant. And we talk about super conferences all the time. Well, you know, the SEC has been not only dominating on the football front, but they have taken it up a notch on and really every other major sport in college. So a lot of those games will be today, like we said. A couple other things that we haven't even really touched on this week, Junie, because you were in for Chase yesterday and you hosted Silman & Company earlier this week, but the LIV PGA merger, you know, that was a huge story that broke earlier this week. And honestly, when Chase said it on air, because it broke during our show,
yeah,
I looked at him like, because he saw one report and then he's like, let me go find it. I'm like, there is no way that this happened. That was a complete bombshell to me to see that after all of this back and forth, you know, a couple months ago, trying to get the big time players, McIlroy saying, you know, no, I'm going to stay with the PGA. I'm going to be quote unquote a good guy. I'm going to stay loyal to the PGA. And now all of a sudden they're merging. I mean, I don't know if some people realize the magnitude of this. And I know people are like, well, it's golf. And some people, you know, you have your golf fans and then you have, you know, maybe if you're an NFL fan. But like this merger will be very, what's the right word? I'm just like influential in how other professional sports move forward just in our lives.
Yeah. I genuinely just had so much distaste when I saw that. And I'm not even a big golf guy. Like if it's on and it, you know, it's in the middle of summer, like I can definitely watch it. And when Tiger's playing, I'm always locked to the TV when Tiger's playing. I love watching some Tiger Woods. I grew up watching him, and especially, you know, with the Ryder Cup being in Louisville. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to park cars as a kid because my grandma lived down the street from Valhalla Golf Course. So, you know, I was always big on some of those guys. And so, you know, last year it was a huge story when Liv came in and started buying out and throwing out huge amounts of money in stealing some of the golfers away from the PGA. And I just think that the stance that the head of the PGA took, saying that, you know, that these people are associated with 9/11, that, you know, this is blood money, you know, people mm-hmm. that are taking that are basically selling out on the PGA Tour, you know, it's just tough to see. And so when you sell out that much and you know, the PGA guys like Rory McIlroy, like Tiger Woods, they don't take that money. Those are the guys I feel bad for. Because they stood on their moral high ground and, in my opinion, did the right thing and stuck with the PGA Tour. But the PGA Tour went around and stabbed these guys in the back. Because for those guys to go out and take a stance like that and for them to miss out on an opportunity of a huge payday the way the LIV guys went and got, and thinking that their own tour had their back, and believed the same things that they believed in their convictions. The fact that only a year later the PGA goes and merges with the LIV Tour, I mean, I just feel awful for those guys because they felt like they were doing the right thing. They felt like that their tour had their back and just flat out just got stabbed in the back, missed on a payday, and this really just validates, you know, the LIV golfers, if I'm being honest. Although, like, I don't think it was the right thing for them to go and take the money from Saudi Arabia. Whatever you believe. I mean, they saw the writing on the wall. Obviously, they knew that this was going to be coming down eventually. And the PGA shouldn't have come out and taken a stance mm-hmm. knowing that all this money was eventually going to force this to happen. And it's just very shocking to me because them coming out and making those comments and then having to eat those words 11 months later, mm-hmm. I just don't have a lot of words for it.
Well, it was when some of the golfers took the money to go to the LIV, it was to go to LIV, it was, you know, how could you, right? How could you leave the PGA? And then, like you said, Junie, a year-ish later, you see the PGA organization just merging with them. I think this will be a really interesting point, too, of, you know, Tiger was the one guy, you know, Tiger Woods has generational money,
yes.
Right? I mean, whether you take his golfing, the winnings, whether you take his endorsements, I mean, he actually is the one guy who probably could just say, you know, no, I'm good and be fine. Whereas, you know, some of these other golfers, some of these younger, like, rising star golfers, you know, Tiger is a sports icon. He's a celebrity. You know, he's at the top of this. He actually was the one guy who could say, you know, like, no, I'm good. And I'm very interested to see how this will impact, you know, will this be Tiger walking away from the game?
That's an interesting point. I mean, I think more of less injury and his performance as well.
Combination, yeah.
But the combination of that, I mean, possibly because, you know, he was a leader of that. And I was listening to Amber and Joe on ESPN Radio the day that this all came out. And they had a beat writer from the PGA kind of come on and talk about it. Mm. And apparently they had like a huge gathering with all the PGA golfers and the head of the PGA and said that there were numerous players calling for new management and basically calling out the hypocrisy of the tour and that a lot of players were standing up, cheering, applauding this. So this story is not over. This whole mm-hmm. narrative and this whole merger, it's good for golf in the sense that all the players are going to be back together. They're all going to be facing each other mm-hmm. in the best tournaments in the world. But the moral high ground of this is still very black and gray right now. And as of right now, there's going to be more coming out about all of this, and it would not surprise me if people start to lose their jobs, and also if, you know, maybe a different brand comes out to try and compete with this, because mm-hmm. again, there's so much distaste for what's going on in golf right now.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head there, Junie. You know, at the end of the day in sports, money and winning trumps all. Money and winning trumps everything. I think that this is going to have a significant impact on maybe some of the professional leagues, you know, moving forward. We had Charles Robinson on earlier this week. He had some interesting thoughts on how this could affect the NFL. We have got so much to talk about. We can't even fit the morning brew in our first segment. We're going to continue this coming up next. We also have some local stories we want to highlight as well. You're listening to Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Happy Saturday, Nashville. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle. We got David James joining us this morning. Kind of just discussing right now. Usually, if you listen to us every Saturday, 9 to 11, we save our first segment for the morning brew, but there has just been so much going on between the LIV PGA merger, between DeAndre Hopkins visiting with the Tennessee Titans this weekend. You got minicamp rolling out, baseball super regionals. There's a lot been going on. Give us your thoughts on the PGA LIV merger on our phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text us or call us. We'll be taking your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Junie, before we move on to the next story, we had Charles Robinson on, who's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. He comes on Robbie and Rex Road every Thursday, and highly recommend that segment. He is very well connected in the NFL, and you can find it wherever you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple Music, anything like that. But, you know, we asked him about this, you know, the PGA and the LIV merger, and how this could influence, you know, the Saudis to want to be a part of more American professional sports. And, you know, Charles Robinson brought up a really, really interesting point. And he said, you know, watching this Commanders deal, you know, barely be able to get done. Right. So we talk about how much these franchises have cost. So the Broncos sold for $4 billion last year into Mr. and Mrs. Walmart, the Walmart family. Mm-hmm. Right. Of course, billionaires. We talk about now the Commanders. They're trying to get that sale done. And I think it's for about $6.4 billion. But, you know, when you talk about the percentage of people in America who are billionaires. So to put it in perspective, Amy Adams Shrunk here in Nashville, her net worth and the family's net worth is about $2 billion. But, you know, when these franchises are selling for $6.4 billion, we've seen more of these groups having to buy teams. It's not just, you know, one person or one family. Jeff Bezos can't buy every single team out there.
Yeah.
But Charles brought up a really interesting point, and he's like, you know, with how expensive these franchises are becoming, he's like, the amount of wealth over there in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, and seeing this PGA LIV merger, he's like, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if in years, I mean, they could pay $10 billion for a team. And you look at an owner, you know, take Amy Adams Shrunk, for example, you know, her net worth is $2 billion, right? And in America, they're trying to find, like, groups of people to buy these franchises because they're so expensive. But, you know, over there, the amount of wealth and the net worth of people is astronomical. That it was just a really interesting point. And obviously, you know, this is nothing new. Right. I mean, I think that, you know, once LIV became what LIV is and now we've seen this merger, I think it's almost a realization, too, of, you know, the PGA sold out. The money wins. Right, Junie? I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about, like money and winning take all.
I think that it would be harder for them to do that with the NFL. You know, golf in my opinion, is a sport that was, you know, more susceptible to being bought out. The NFL as a corporation and the privacy that it is and how hard it is to get into ownership. I mean, sometimes they block people from becoming owners. You know, we've seen it in the NBA in the past. What, you know, David, you might be able to help me with this. What, who was the owner back with the Clippers that got booted out of the NBA a couple of, about like, eight, 9 years ago? What was his name?
Wasn't it the altercation with Paul George?
No. There was a
no. That was with the Lob City. With the
Because he had made some Donald Sterling?
Yes, Donald Sterling
for the Clippers. He got booted out of the NBA because he made racist remarks on video, and they just got him out because, you know, obviously you can't be having that in the league, and there had already been previous reports about him. So for NFL fans, I think that if you get bought out by a Saudi Arabia team, I feel like fans would almost boycott that team. I just feel like the fan base of the NFL would not go for something like that. And I think that would have ramifications on the brand. And for something like golf, I feel like, you know, Saudi Arabian trust fund money, all this stuff can be bought into it. I just think it would be so, so difficult for it to kind of get into the NFL with how much power and how much sway and just the NFL fan base in general. I think it would be tough for them to do. But, you know, money talks. And when you're talking, and you brought up a good point that, you know, Amy Adams Strunk, her net worth is about $2 billion. If they put out a check for, you know, billion, then is she going to say no to that? Like, can she say no to that?
It was more of two, right? Like, we've seen two franchises in the last year and a half, 2 years get sold between the Denver Broncos, which was $4 billion last year. Now the Commanders, which is going to be about a $6 billion deal. You know, what if, and this is, I mean, it's not going to happen, but the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, how much is that franchise worth? Right? And what?
Probably about $8 billion.
Right? I mean, $8-9 billion with a B. So my point was more of, who are you going to get to buy it? When you, right? You know,
Jerry Jones would never sell the Dallas Cowboys. And that's for one.
No. But like, I'm just trying to, I was just picking a franchise that I knew would be more expensive.
Yeah.
So I mean, 32, whatever one you want to pick, the price is just going to keep going up because the NFL will rule forever. Right. You know, when you get up into these prices, that was more of my point of, you know, we're seeing this deal be so hard to get done with the Commanders because of how expensive it is.
Well, the one thing about what Charles Robinson did say that I found interesting is, what if, you know, these trust fund, Saudi Arabian companies created their own league and started, nitpicking and taking away players in general and bringing them over to their side? It's not just NFL ownership that you'd have to worry about. It's about the individual players and how much money that they could get, you know, playing for a completely different league. You know, we've seen the XFL. We've seen the USFL. Like, all of these.
Football Europe.
All of these spring leagues. Well, Football Europe was more or less an attempt at a minor league system for the league. That was kind of connected to the NFL. But the bottom line is that they could create their own league and start paying players more and start taking away from some of the product that the NFL has. And that's where I think is a more likely situation, because when it comes to the NFL and its product, it's hard to get into that private corporation aspect of it. But if you're talking about just taking players, like, okay, Patrick Mahomes, I know the Chiefs are paying you know, $500 million, but here's $1 billion. Like,
$5 billion.
They could do that if they wanted to. Yeah. So, and if you're Patrick Mahomes, I mean, is your loyalty to the NFL? Is your loyalty to the Chiefs, or do you want to go and get, you know, the highest payday for an American athlete ever? I mean, it's just up to you.
It really is a fascinating conversation, and on a much smaller scale, we've seen it, and it doesn't, you know, affect really the WNBA, but the reason so many WNBA players play overseas is because in Europe they can make almost triple the amount that the WNBA pays mm-hmm. them to play over there on a smaller scale, of course. You know, the NBA or the NFL would be completely different. Before we kind of wrap up the Morning Brew, did want to get to this really heartbreaking story on a young athlete right here in Middle Tennessee. Demon Floyd Jr., DJ, he was known as 18-year-old. He was a star basketball player here in Nashville, shot and killed earlier this week. Jenny, you brought this story up, you know, just, you know, so heartbreaking. He had a scholarship. He just graduated high school. And, you know, as a sports station, a lot of times we don't get into, you know, stories like this. We talk more, you know, X's and O's. But I thought it was just, and you brought it up to me. I hadn't seen it. I thought it was important, you know, just a young athlete here in Nashville. Just heartbreaking. Really heartbreaking.
It is. He went to East Nashville and just graduated from high school. What was it? A week and a half, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And David had touched because, you know, I kind of covered the football end of things, and I don't think he was on the football team this year, but he had played football for East Nashville in the past. But David, you touched on it and said that, you know, from all accounts that you have heard from people that were closer to him that said that this kid was a really good kid.
Yeah, he was a really good kid. I mean, they won state last year for East Nashville 2022. It's just a sad story. I mean, really good kid from what I've heard.
It's heartbreaking, and it's like this kid had a promising future. You know, his mom came on and said that he really worked on his academics. And again, you touched on in the News 2 report that he had a scholarship to go play basketball. So, you know, seeing gun violence in the city and seeing a young man lose his life that had everything in front of him, you know, you just hate to see those things. So just kind of want to go out there and thoughts and prayers to him and his family and to the East Nashville community, mm-hmm. a team that I covered very closely for high school football. So I know the culture that's there. There's a lot of good people out at East Nashville High School. So my thoughts and prayers are with that community, and I hope that the healing process comes sooner rather than later for those people out there.
Yeah, definitely. I think well said, Junie. Well said, David. Thinking about the East Nashville community, friends and family of DJ Floyd's. But important to remember him, a kid who, you know, brought a lot of joy to that community. And it was the News 2 report that I saw all of this on. So, you know, thinking about the entire community, not much to say other than it's just a horrible, tragic situation. And you hope, you know, the community can come together. And that's what we've seen from Middle Tennessee, you know, coming together in tragic times like this. Coming up next, Junie and I will switch topics a little bit. We'll start talking about the Tennessee Titans up next on Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
First and foremost, I kind of want to address the whole OTAs and things like that. I had been in communication with the coaching staff really early in this offseason before, obviously, all this news and all this stuff that came out that, you know, I was going to have my own plan to be able to train on my own. Obviously, you know, every player on this team is in a different stage of their career. I am very comfortable, obviously, being with Shane, being with the coach staff right for 5 years, Shane being our coordinator for the last four, very comfortable within the defense. I had stayed in communication with the coaches this entire offseason about any new stuff that we had, any nuances that was coming out within the defense. But I had been enjoying training on my own and felt it was very important. And it really was never any doubt from the coaches and my end that, you know, I wasn't going to be here for minicamp. I knew I was going to be here and be the same player that I've always been, be the same leader that I always will be. So I kind of just want to put that out there. I know you guys have some other questions, but I just want to put that out there.
Y'all got me hot.
That was Kevin Byard earlier this week discussing why he wasn't at OTAs this year. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle. We got David Janes on the ones and the twos live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. You know, we knew when Kevin Byard was going to eventually speak to the media, Junie, just based off of a couple months ago when the news came out that the Tennessee Titans asked Kevin Byard for a pay cut. Then Jared on our station reported that maybe Kevin Byard had asked for a release or for to go somewhere else. He did not confirm or deny that. Kevin Byard, when he spoke to the media, when he was asked earlier this week. So it's fair to assume, and I'm sure Kevin Byard knows, he sees things of what people are talking about and the way it looks. The way it looks when Rand Carthon comes out and says, yeah, we did ask Kevin for a pay cut. And then a guy like Kevin, who's such a leader in this locker room, is such a leader in this organization, doesn't come to OTAs. Of course, people are going to raise their eyebrows a little bit. It's not the first time he hasn't come to OTAs. So when he goes to speak to the media the other day, before he allowed questions, he said, hey, let me just address one of the elephants in the room. And then, of course, the questions about the pay cut came up. I understand why a guy like Kevin Byard wouldn't come to OTAs. His explanation made sense to me that, you know, he was ramping up. He was starting his offseason workouts right after the Super Bowl, 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, he said. And then by the time he would have had to come to OTAs, he's already ramping things up, and he didn't have to kind of want to take a step back in his workout. Sure, I get that. Completely understand. You're a veteran in the room. You said you communicated with the coaching staff. Shane Bowen, Mike Vrabel, they all said that you communicated with each other. But they still did ask him for a pay cut. And that was the other elephant in the room, Junie. I mean, when he was asked, he said, you know, my agent handles that. I don't really want to, you know, get into this right now. I do think maybe Kevin Byard is a little bit like, okay, cool. I do everything right for this organization. But at the end of the day, he's under contract. He said, no, I will not take a pay cut. Case closed. I mean, I think the thought from maybe people – like, even some people on our station, like, this is not a contract negotiation. I think that's my biggest thing, Junie, is he said, no, he won't take a pay cut. He's under contract. They're not going to trade him because they're not going to get the value they want. And they're not going to cut him because you're saving some money. But why would you do that?
No, I mean, it doesn't make sense. And especially when Kevin Byard is supposed to be a free agent in 2025.
Okay,
you know,
so 2025.
So looking at where this roster is right now, the fact that they didn't cut Tannehill, and we've already talked about how much money they could save with the post-June 1st cut, it seems like they're going to be, you know, moving forward with Tannehill. You know, Derrick Henry, the reports of them shopping him, this is the final year of his contract. You know, when the heart and soul of this defense, and for me being the really one person on this station that doesn't think the Titans are in contention to make the playoffs this year, I just don't think they are. Everybody comes back and says, with how good this defense is, you know, that's what's going to put them in position to win. So when that is the case, why would this team want to move off one of your best defensive players outside of Jeffrey Simmons? He is the best player on the defense outside of Jeffrey Simmons. So with all of that being said, it just doesn't make sense to me. So if anybody was asking to move somewhere, I think it would have been Kevin Byard because, again, normally in these situations, when a player is asked to take a pay cut, it typically goes, okay, you're not going to take a pay cut, then we are going to cut you. In post-June 1st, again, it didn't make sense financially before the June 1st cut to cut Kevin Byard, but afterwards, the dead cap hit went from, I believe, $14 million to around only $6 million. So it was manageable to cut him and save some money. It's just you're leaving the back end of your defense being susceptible, especially after they were ranked last in yards given up last season. So with all of this being encompassed, I think Kevin Byard, when he was approached about this, maybe those conversations did happen. And he said, okay, well, I'm not going to take a pay cut. Are you going to release me? Am I going to get shipped to another team? I'm sure those conversations were had.
Because, they're valid questions.
Because, again, they have to be. If you're asking a guy, you know, in his late 20s, at a position to where, you know, the drop-off is around, you know, the early 30s, making this much money at a non-premium position, he needs to ask these questions because he needs to know where he's at for his future. He said no. The Titans said, okay, well, we are going to keep you. Maybe they just wanted to test to see what they could get, and they're moving on from it. But again, all of this comes down to, what does it mean? It means Kevin Byard essentially got a dose of reality of where he is with the organization, whether we agree with it or not, because I think most of the media, you know, thinks that's not the guy to go to ask a pay cut for all that he provides to this team. So
yeah, I mean, I agree, but on the flip side, you know, playing a little devil's advocate here, I'm on Kevin's side in this whole situation. But
oh, like, I am too.
Like I said, playing devil's advocate, if you're Rand Carthon and you're a new GM and you're looking at the books and you're coming in and you're thinking, okay, let's look at the numbers, who's getting paid what, you look at who's, like, getting paid the most on the team and you see it's Kevin Byard at safety and you say the same things that you just said. It's a non-premium position. He's getting up there in age. You know, is there something we can do? We might as well ask. But at the same point, you know, when you're Kevin, it's like, okay, I've been, you know, one of the most tenured players on this team. I've done everything right. He has never, ready? Never missed a game. When you talk about availability being the best ability, Kevin Byard has never missed a game. Think about that. I mean, that really is crazy to say that he has never missed a game.
Well, that's why he played in the Dallas Cowboys game this past year when everybody else sat out. You know, they didn't play, you know, Derrick Henry. They didn't play Jeff Simmons. They didn't play Danico Autry when he was supposed to be coming back. They wanted to save everybody for that final game in Jacksonville that was going to decide the division. But Kevin Byard played in a game into which we all were saying the Dallas Cowboys were probably going to win by 30 or 40 points. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Kevin Byard ends up making two interceptions on Dak Prescott, absolutely changes the whole mindset of the game. And on top of this, you know, you said his best ability is his availability. Not only that, but ever since he's been on this team, he's led the team in tackles and in interceptions. The guy is a difference maker. And it's not just the fact that on the field he makes plays. In the locker room, he is the heart and soul of this team. And I can't reiterate this enough. When the going gets tough and everybody's in the locker room, I just will never forget this. You know, before the game against the Jaguars at home, we thought if they win this, they're going to wrap up the division. It's all going to be downhill from here. They can really work on getting healthy and all this stuff. And guess what? Jacksonville came out and mopped the floor with the Tennessee Titans. And it put everybody in the stadium, everybody in the press box on notice that, okay, this division isn't locked up, and this is going to be really interesting going down the stretch. And when everybody else had their heads down, everybody on the team had their heads down. Mm-hmm. The one guy that was in there saying, we can be better, we can turn this around, we can do this, this is unacceptable, but we got the guys, we got the talent, we got the moxie, we can do this, we can pull this together, it was Kevin Byard. He never, ever lost faith in this team. And even with all the narratives that have been floating around, mm-hmm. Kevin Byard still showed up. He's still being the leader, and he's still pushing his guys in minicamp. And that is the test of a true leader. So Kevin Byard, he's going to be a good soldier this year. But going forward, you just have to look at this as maybe after this year, when the money is a little bit easier to move off of him, mm-hmm. they might be looking to do that.
So also, too, something quick to mention, Kevin Byard is tied for third for the most interceptions since 2015 in the entire league. So, you know, when you talk about a guy performing at the top level of not only for this organization, but around the league, Kevin Byard is right up there. Also, never missed a game. And that is the number one thing on Mike Vrabel's book, especially with all of the injuries these past 2 years. A lot of excitement surrounding the Tennessee Titans after it was announced DeAndre Hopkins would be visiting with them this weekend. Also, want to note that he will be visiting with the New England Patriots. Junie and I will get into all on the other side. If DeAndre Hopkins signs with the Tennessee Titans, how different could this offense look? And what is the price? Because that is the biggest question. Coming up next, I'm Michelle and Junie. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We already know what news broke earlier today that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receiver, may be taking a visit, man. Like, you got a recruiting pitch for him? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, it's crazy because, you know, I didn't know until today. And then, of course, like, I already sent the DM, like, come on with it. You already know what's up. So, yeah. You know, just that I know, you know, the type of player he is, being able to play against him and get ready to play against him, you know, just to watch the film and, you know, okay, DeAndre Hopkins, that's the guy we got to stop. And just everyone having a lot of respect for DeAndre Hopkins. He's been around the game for a long time. And, you know, just his playmaking, his ability, and I'm sure just his leadership and what type of teammate he is, the reason why everybody want him on their team. So, I would love him on our team. You know, hopefully I'll see him around while he's in town. But, man, it'd be love to have him on our team to help us, you know, and not to rebuild, to help us get some wins this year.
Jeffrey Simmons slid into DeAndre Hopkins' DMs. He wants him here in Nashville. And you heard him right there, Junie. He said, we don't want this rebuild. He said it in practice the other day. We asked him. He's like, no, 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 none of this rebuild. We want to win. We want to win now. And we did ask Jeffrey Simmons if DeAndre Hopkins responded. And DeAndre Hopkins did respond to the DM, but Jeffrey Simmons would not tell us what he responded. So we will now wait until D-Hop lands in Nashville. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jeffrey Simmons, you know, really advocating to go and get a guy like D-Hop. He has confirmed, or it's been confirmed, that he will visit here with the Tennessee Titans. He also will go up to New England and visit with the New England Patriots. Titans fans, let us know. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How would you feel if you got a guy like DeAndre Hopkins to add to this offense? I have been on this bandwagon. As soon as he was released from the Arizona Cardinals, and you don't have to give up draft capital, you don't have to give up future assets, and you saw that, you know, some of these contender teams, like the Bills, like the Chiefs, kind of started to back off a little bit. The Bills offered him, it was confirmed, they offered him a $3 million year, $3 million deal just for a one-year deal. And, you know, if you're D-Hop, I think I'd confidently can say that he probably felt a little offended by that. I would have felt a little offended by that, but, you know, the Bills are a stacked roster.
It's crazy, though, because, you know, he went on the I Am Athlete podcast and listed out, you know, his quarterbacks and teams that he would like to play for. And everybody has just been running with this narrative that he wants to go to a contender and he's going to do whatever it takes to do that. But I bought into that, too. But when the Houston Chronicle came out and said that, you know, he wouldn't be, you know, He wouldn't be opposed to going and signing with the Texans. I was like, oh, okay. You know, the Titans, they need to be all over this then.
Yeah. Because
once that came out, I was like, okay, it's anybody's game. You know, money has to be involved with this. Because, again, he's a wide receiver that's about to turn 31 years old. And, again, you know, with him being released from the Arizona Cardinals, they had to pay him $22 million. But he doesn't know how many years left he's going to get that payday. So not only does he want that $22 million, but he wants to take the highest bidder that he possibly can get because he doesn't know if he's going to get another big payday. So he's trying to get the most that he possibly can before his career is over. So, you know, the Titans meeting with him, I really like that. And when it comes down to the Titans or Patriots, I've been hearing on all the national media outlets that they have been like, oh, well, if it's between the Titans and Patriots, I'd go to New England. I'm like,
what?
Really?
I've been seeing
that a lot. And I'm like, do you not see that the Titans have Derrick Henry? Like, what is so good about the Patriots? Mac Jones is not a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. Okay? Listen. I've been down on Ryan Tannehill a lot, and
but
I know,
you can admit.
And I know everybody thinks I just hate him. No, I just think the Titans need to move in a different direction. But regardless, the fact still stands: Mac Jones is not good. The New England Patriots play in a division with the Jets, Dolphins, and Bills that are all better than
good
them.
Good luck.
It's like, yeah, good luck. They're going to finish bottom three in the AFC. Have fun, D-Hop. Even if he does sign there. That's still by far, by a huge margin, the worst team in the AFC East. At least you can be competitive in your own division if you were to sign with the Titans.
Well, and the schedule that they have, too. I mean, you know, you're paired up with the NFC South this year for the Tennessee Titans, which is the worst division in the NFC. I mean, it is a winnable schedule, and if you get a guy like D-Hop, there's a very good shot that you and the Jags, Week 18, could be going for the division again. I look at the Patriots and, you know, I understand Bill Belichick and I understand the prestige that the Patriots have held. But ever since Tom Brady left, they haven't won.
No. They went to the playoffs in Mac Jones' rookie year and they got blasted by 40 against Buffalo. And I'll say this, too.
I like when you talk to me about the Patriots, Judy.
I hate New England. I cannot stand the Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, like, they never. I'm not going to get into it. Regardless, their offensive coordinator and quarterback coach is Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien was the head coach of the Houston Texans and also the GM that got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. If I'm Mike Vrabel, I am using that in the meeting so hard. I'm like, listen, this guy gave up on you. And not only that, He didn't even get a first round pick for you when you were in your prime.
Ooh, tell him,
Junie.
When
you were in your prime. They traded you for David Johnson.
Go off, King.
David Johnson in a second round pick. Pennies on the dollar. And you want to go play for that scrub in Mac Jones? Oh, okay. All right. At least the Titans have a good defense, mm-hmm. and they have a solid quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, and one of the greatest running backs of all time, and in my opinion, the greatest running back of this generation, in Derrick Henry, who just came off a 1,500-yard season. It is not even close for the national media who is trying to say that New England might be a better landing spot for DeAndre Hopkins. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It's not close.
And, I mean, if you look at the teams, too, I understand the national media is very down on the Tennessee Titans considering their 7-game losing streak. But, I mean, look at that team. Their quarterback was hurt. You know, they had a guy who is a career backup in Joshua Dobbs, and their roster was falling apart because of all the injuries. I do want to mention something quick about Derrick Henry. You know, you just said you believe the best running back in –
Of this generation.
FanDuel just put out an interesting stat right now. He's the King Henry for a reason. Most rushing yards in the past decade. Derrick Henry, 8,335, leading the pack. Ezekiel Elliott, 8,262. And then it goes down. Frank Gore is at 4. Le'Veon Bell, 6. Nick Chubb, 8. So, I mean, Derrick Henry. You know, we put those numbers together. We say it a lot, but sometimes to see him, you know, in the last decade, pretty incredible.
He hadn't even been in the league a decade, and he hasn't been.
He didn't play the two first years.
He played, but he wasn't the feature running back that we know of Derrick Henry today. He really didn't get going until the 2018 season. So the fact that we're talking about the last decade, when really he's only played the last 5 seasons as the feature back of the Tennessee Titans, it just goes to show you how amazing and how once-in-a-generational talent Derrick Henry truly is. And I can't speak that enough about how amazing it has been to watch a guy of that size and that speed be able to do what he's done in a time in the NFL where people are moving off running backs, people are moving away from the running game, and wide receivers are at a premium value, and passing has gone up, and the numbers have gone up more in the past 5 or 6 years than it ever has in NFL history. So Derrick Henry is just an anomaly. He is a freak. And again, we're going to get into that a little bit later about how the NFL is valuing running backs nowadays.
Well, and I think Rich Eisen's tweet perfectly described it. He tweeted, "I honestly can't believe the running back position has reached the point where an 1,000-yard rusher 4 straight years with 52 touchdowns gets released at age 27. Go ball out at your next spot, Dalvin Cook."
I think that
really paints the picture of what this position has become. And, you know, here in Tennessee, what Derrick Henry has done, he's proven that. And I get it. He's the king. He's unique. He's different. He breaks barriers. But he's proven that, you know, it can be a position that can change the game. And he really has changed the game. And hopefully he'll continue to change the game with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins next to him. We're going to pivot a little bit, Junie. We are going to talk some SEC football coming up. I know everybody is irate about the 8 conference games. You know, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, they do 9 conference games. But Junie Riddle might have a solution. So, Greg Sankey, I hope you're listening. Coming up next, I'm Michelle Junie, 102.5, 106.3 in the Gabe Nashville app.